Good morning. I'm here today to talk about some really simple ideas for controlling widow and orphan lines. I call them orphan lines here. I'll get to that later. But basically, the goal of what it's trying to do is to control them automatically, to have a program that would go and deal with them without human intervention if necessary. The tech has very, very sophisticated ways of doing this manually if you know where you want to do it and how to handle it. My colleagues and I, we wanted to do this automatically. We didn't want to have to go through that. We start by mentioning, in case anyone doesn't know, I imagine that almost everyone does know, what are orphan lines? Or widow lines. An orphan line is it's a single line at the top or bottom of a page. It comes from a paragraph. So basically, the paragraph is getting chopped off, and the last line is on the top of the page, or the first line is at the bottom of the page. And people have called these various things. Some people call one of those a widow line and another one an orphan line, and people actually get them backwards sometimes. In this, the complete manual typography, Leachy just calls them orphan lines. He uses widow lines for a different, something different. So that's what I'm following here today. The don't really like the names, but that's what the standard is. So. Basically, we, my colleagues and I have developed a simple little typesetting program that we call AML. And we did this just, we had several targets. Primarily, we wanted to generate very high quality, very dense PDF. And we also wanted to develop ebooks. And this was a while ago. Ebooks have made a dramatic change in the time that we started, and especially recently with some recent product announcements. But our goal back long ago was to try to focus creating PDF for these ebooks and tagging it, and we wanted to be able to look at not only on laptops but also on Palm Pilots and things of that nature. So this is why we were looking at this program to optimize that. And at its heart, it is pretty much a PDF generator. We want to develop target PDF. We wanted to make sure that we could support the features of PDF and also do so very cleanly and very well. The various operators in there, text operators, graphic operators, and things of that nature. So when we were starting this, we started with tech, and, which we loved. At the time, we didn't think that it was creating the PDFs that we needed or wanted. At the time, the memory on the some of the handheld devices that we were targeting was very small, and we needed to heavily compress and take advantage of the operators there. Also, we wanted to try some different things. So we wanted to process a document as a whole, and for one thing. We didn't want to just go page by page. We wanted to see if there were some optimizations that were possible there. And we wanted to get beyond some of the limitations, the 256 registers and things of that nature. We wanted to try to expand things. So one decision that we made was that we our macros are scheme-like. I put scheme in quotes there because it's not a full scheme. It's it doesn't probably implement tail recursion and all the necessary features. You can probably mutate non-mutatable values or things of that nature, but the syntax is very much like scheme, and so are the ideas. Another thing we wanted to do was we wanted this to be purely line-based. We did not want to go off line grid. We did not want vertical glue, for example. We wanted this to be strictly line. We do have concepts of skipping half lines and things, or fractions of lines, but the line is one of the fundamental points in this package. And as I mentioned before, we wanted to process the whole document. We wanted to be able to do several things with that, including forward references. If we wanted to refer to a section that's later in the document, we wanted to be able to process it, go back, and update that reference there before producing the PDF itself. So, and mentioned before, this includes so AML includes this ability to backtrack. If we find a forward reference, we put a marker there, and once it is defined, we can go back and fill that in, and effectively reprocess the document. And all this processing goes on prior to the PDF generation. So we store it in an intermediate form before that happens. And there are various rules for the backtracking, but it may only go back to the last unresolved point. But here's an example. One of the things that we were targeting this with basically books for schools, children, and things like that. This is a page from Pride and Prejudice. So we downloaded from Gutenberg. We wanted to make have a copy available for kids. And so this was one of these, one of our example texts. And you can see at the bottom, there's a line that's one of the orphan lines that we're trying to get rid of. I should mention that my obsession with the orphan lines, I call it that, come from my master's thesis, where we had to present it to the document formatting people who would go and judge it and red mark it and tell us where all the bad parts were and what we needed to fix, and vis-a-vis a standard reference. And two of us in graduate school decided we were going to go through perfectly, which had never happened. No one ever thought that could be possible. One of my friends used Trough. I used Tech, which was new to our university at that time. And I thought I did a wonderful job, and it came back, and one of the things was mentioned the orphan lines, which was a minor thing that I had missed in the document format requirements. And basically, I had a night to fix it. And, so I would spend all night trying to fix these lines, and I'd fix one, and another one would pop up, and then it just scrolled forward and forward, and it was an all-nighter, and even though I was much younger than it could do that, it still was not a pleasant experience. So in the years since then, I've always tried to target these things and hope that they would go away. This is an example of the output. Normally we, as it turns out, most of our stuff is on 8.5 by 11 paper, because that's what people have that we print out on. This I shrunk this down to a more standard paperback size. And this is an example of some of the things we can do in AML and some of the our philosophies with it. Is that with the embedded scheme, we can actually output some and annotate the text itself, saying, giving features of it. On the your right-hand side is the stretching or shrinking of space in that line, particular line. The reds are the lines that we consider to be out of control. And that's a threshold that's set in the language itself. And and you can see on the third line, I don't know if you can see that or not, but third line is zero. That means that all the space was used there perfectly. And on your left-hand side, there's both paragraph number markers. And the number to the left of that is the penalty in the paragraph. That's a measure of how good or bad that paragraph is, and we'll get to that later. But and you can see a bounding box around the text. We have lines there at the text itself. Again, this is baseline developed on the baseline. We wanted pages that were printed back and forth to line up nicely. That unfortunately didn't turn out because the printers seemed to offset it. So we never quite got there. We tried various rotational schemes to handle different printers, but it was too random for us to deal with. And you might be able to see here that basically at the start of the program, we figure out how many lines there are going to be, and we adjust the spacing to fill the lines in different ways. At the top line there, we've optimized it on the X height. We can also optimize it on the cap height or the bounding box. And these are some of the annotations that we do when we want to look at text. The program that outputs log files that say, they'll say your paragraph so-and-so is out of tolerance or bad line at this paragraph. And what we can do is have it print this out, go back, look and see, say the first line of paragraph 512 there is bad, and figure out how we want to deal with it. For the most part, the text that we have, we don't really want to change. We don't have the option to change, so that's we usually just have to live with it. But in case we, when we go through it, we can get the reports and go back and see what's gone on. So I'd like to talk about the Knuth-Blass algorithm, which is the basic typesetter that we use for breaking the paragraphs into lines. And this, when we started this, we implemented a simple algorithm for basically a first fit, and it looked okay. But I got a hold of this book, Digital Typography, and found the paper in there, which I think is a wonderful paper. We implemented this algorithm, and it made a dramatic difference. I don't know if, I imagine that everyone here knows more about this than I do, but if you've never implemented this, I would suggest trying it and trying the differences and seeing them, because it was quite a revelation to us. I'm just going to briefly try to describe it, because again, I think most people know more about it than I do, and also that I can't do any better than the paper that gives it. I was rereading that last night, and I think it's a wonderful introduction to typography and also this algorithm. But basically, the words in the paragraph and the breakpoints are converted into a graph, and each potential breakpoint is given a penalty, and then the algorithm optimizes that from the beginning to the end. And the penalties add up, and that is the number that is given on the far left-hand side in this example here. So it's a measure of how the goodness of the paragraph, shall we say. So, and in the paper, it describes various features that how it assigns penalties to them, so you can optimize the output typographically, how it from line to line can change the spacings, make sure the spacing is consistent from line to line. And it is wonderfully flexible. I cannot say enough about it. And speaking from someone that has tried both, it is the difference is remarkable. In the paper itself, they call it the total fit algorithm. And I think the key concept from it is that it looks at the paragraph as a whole rather than line by line. When I think about first fit and best fit algorithms, they typically look at a line and then look at the next line and forward. But it looks at the whole paragraph, and that gives it much of its power. So in AML, basis, very simple. Read the input. We basically translate it into lists of characters and boxes and glue. We use the algorithm to create line breaks. We, where the line breaks are, we dole it out into lines, and we look and see if any variable was changed. This is part of the forward referencing, and if it does, we go back to where we need to and go through again just to make sure that that nothing has changed. Obviously, there are some degenerate cases where a variable could change and it would throw something off and it would change back, and that we've never seen that. We've never tried to hunt for it. This was mostly, we wanted to use this to create documents, and one of the nice things about having a group of friends do it is somebody found a problem and complained about it, they'd be told to go fix it. So that tends to limit people's meanness to the program. So the whole concept of orphan control with this algorithm was mentioned in the original paper. And there is a looseness parameter that can control this, so you can go plus or minus one line to try to optimize the, and get rid of those lines. And a reference to where that is mentioned. Thinking back many, many years ago, it wasn't very successful for me when I was undergoing my night of torture and almost doomed graduation. So the nice thing about the algorithm is that at the end you have a graph and you go through the active nodes to find the best one. But different nodes have different line. The different breaking paths can have different line numbers. So what AML does is it stores that information. It goes through and for each paragraph, it will store not only the optimal breaking point for that paragraph, but it will also, if it finds one that is one line less or one line more, it will store that one as well. And if an orphan line is found, it will go back then and figure out which paragraph would have take the penalty for being adjusted plus or minus one line to optimize itself, to optimize the page so that the orphan line would go away. So in doing this, we found that in pages, there are natural page breaks. When we unfortunately call them anchor points. That's a bad name, but we started down a bad path, and here we are. Chapter ends. Typically, in our documents, we end chapters on a page, and begin chapters on a new page, I should say. So if there's a chapter break, that is a natural point. We're not going to optimize anything prior to that. Or we're not going to shift anything prior to that. Also, if we find a paragraph whose ends on the bottom of a page, that's we don't want to touch anything prior to that either. So that we adjust that to being an anchor point there. So AML will not try to adjust anything earlier. And is saying the obvious. If we tried to adjust anything previous, then we'd just be creating problems for ourselves rather than creating goodness. So we've also found that two-line paragraphs are interesting, that they can give us flexibility or they can create havoc, but they can be moved up or down, obviously. So there's a little more opportunity to deal with them than there are with other things. So when we find a two-line paragraph, unlike others, we keep on going for a while. And then we figure out at the next convenient time whether or not we want to move it up or down. And we can get strings of pages that end with two paragraph lines and delay the decision for a while. In doing this in AML, and these are oddities of our program, we there are two things that kind of work against this. For one thing, we handled tolerance a bit differently than tech. We want it to be best as possible, but we want to place it if possible. So we don't want to, as a default, we don't want the user to have to go in and make the increase the tolerance for a particular paragraph. So by default, we start with a low tolerance, and if there's no good set of breakpoints found, we increase it by a small amount. I say 0.025 there, but it's actually adjustable. And then we try again, and we will ratchet it up until we find something that will work. And again, it's quite possible that there would be paragraphs that would never work, and we have fixed limits. And if any one of us complains, that person's going to have to go fix it. So the problem with this in AFL is that this typically only gives one possible line break solution for probably about more than half of the paragraphs. And then doing it this style, it finds a breaking that has the least tolerance for the paragraph, but it doesn't really find other options. And so we do have ways of turning this off, and we're starting with a looser initial values to try to find better breakings. The second issue is hyphenation. And AML has a very poor hyphenation scheme at the moment. And it's because one of us is convinced that there are natural ways of doing it. He believes that he saw rules once for English language hyphenation that he wants to implement, but none of us can ever find it. So, but the bottom line is that fewer breakpoints, fewer hyphens, hyphenation options mean fewer breakpoints, which mean fewer line breaking options. So for the text I showed, part of the Pride and Prejudice, one page of it, there are 2,124 paragraphs in Pride and Prejudice, which is something you can wow the kids with. In that in that processing, we found that there were 125 orphan lines, 14 of which were two-line orphans. And in that entire text, there were zero alternate breaks found. That is not a typical result. Typically, we deal with larger paragraphs, for one thing. As it turns out, Ms. Austin wrote fairly short paragraphs most of the time. But you know, it happens. And it is not unusual to encounter an orphan line where there has been no previous alternate break options. So we had developed an alternate method for handling them. So what we do is we keep track of the paragraphs, which require the least amount of stretching or shrinking to change. And then we go back and stretch them out, basically. Sometimes we shrink. That doesn't normally happen. Shrinking is a pretty difficult thing to make work. So, and when we find our target paragraph or unfortunate paragraph, it gets stretched out or shrunk until we get rid of the line. And this is the example page. In this example, it was paragraph 511 that was victimized, as it were. It was stretched out by about, the spaces were actually stretched out by about 2.5%, and it got rid of the bottom line there, you can see. So basically the conclusion here is that we have found that orphan lines can be handled in many cases, which is a good thing if you're obsessed with them. Sometimes there are few good choices in the ways of dealing with them, so we've had to take sledgehammers to things to get them to fit. And as always, looking at the text to see if it's what turned out is a good idea. So that's all. Thank you.
Correct me if I'm wrong. So if I understand correctly, in your standard method, you always look exactly one paragraph up, unless it's two line. In alternate, you go several paragraphs up. Is it correct?
No.
Okay.
We start from the last anchor point.
Uh-huh.
I'm sorry. We start from the last anchor point, which uh-huh. could be the start of a chapter, or it could be the last point at which the paragraph ended at the bottom of a line.
Mm-hmm.
And we backtrack to there.
Mm-hmm.
And uh-huh. and we there's a paragraph somewhere in between that is uh-huh. is going to get affected.
So you have full path. Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, I have a few questions. On one of the sheets or whatever it's called, you mentioned that you make boxes and then you apply the algorithm. Does it mean that because if you make boxes, you lose basically hyphenation? So you don't do any hyphenation at all?
Well, it's a little more complicated than that. What we do is we have a list of characters, which and each is a what we call a fixed box. I don't know if I have that terminology correct or not, but we have list of characters and a list of spaces with shrinkability and stretchability associated, size, shrinkability, and stretchability, and some embedded commands also, changing fonts and things like that. And that is what we give to the algorithm. The algorithm goes through and adds up the character widths. I don't know if that's
so it's boxes. Characters
yes.
boxes.
Yes, yeah. And then it adds up the space and the shrinkability and stretchability. And we have a little feature where we can have infinite stretchability or infinite shrinkability boxes. And if we wind up with infinite, we start adding factors of infinity, things like that. But that's basically how it works.
The second question is, can you go back to the original page, which is in the beginning? Yes. You know, if you talk about obsessions, yeah, and maybe publishers being obsessed, how about the dangling eye at the end of the line? I would say that's even more problematic than having...
Well, thank you for mentioning that. I now have another obsession to deal with. My psychologist will be sending you a card. I agree. This was basically took the online Gutenberg text and shoved it through. But you are right. There are many other things that can go through and optimize for typography. I don't know that. I certainly would not consider myself to be an expert typographer by any means or stretch of the imagination. And I think it's a good point. We somehow should figure out how to programmatically deal with that.
Maybe stretch your space to the limits of it.
Hmm. Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that I and probably many others in the room can give you a reference for those supposedly natural rules of hyphenation, but they don't work. You need to implement Frank's algorithm.
Yeah, I appreciate that. It's been a point of discussion, shall we say, amongst us.
We can discuss, but there's a right answer.
Yes. So.
One of the issues that we developed hyphenation for was to get away from the I think it's called rivers of white space. And, you know, one of the things that I saw in your solution there was a lot of very large intraspace words. So spacing between the words. And so are you addressing, apparently not, this issue in handling it? I mean, if you're going to now go and add the hyphenation algorithm in there, that's going to squeeze up the line space. But the obvious solution is, well, just put one more word on the next line, and then you're going to larger word spaces. So this looks like a, you know, damned if you do and damned if you don't. I can understand, having written, you know, a college program to do a word processing and word wrap and stuff like that, you got too many hard choices to make. So that's really commentary.
Yes, I think we could assign penalties to orphan lines and figure out how bad we wanted to get versus that. We just decided to try to eliminate them completely.
I've been doing page layout since I was a teenager, and in all that time I've had exactly one instance of a chapter coming out perfectly with no widows or orphans. It was the fastest 45 minutes of my life. In doing that, I found that, you know, the best strategy is you start by setting everything up as correctly as possible, and including putting in lots of global replacements to fix things like that dangling eye, putting in non-breaking spaces after all the cat buys, bitter solo, like Hans mentioned. And then, you know, much as you having your algorithm start at the front and work your way back, one thing I found to look for, and I didn't see a mention of this, was also adding lines to paragraphs to fix stacks. So if you've got, you know, say a two-word stack at the bottom of a page, you back up a little, find a long paragraph, increase it by a line, and then you've broken the stack up by taking the second word off to the other page. Have you considered looking for stacks and rivers in your lines and fixing those?
We have thought about it, especially rivers. We haven't come up with anything good. So it's something we would love to figure out how to program them away, but we don't know how to yet.